will turn to Psalm 1 this evening. While you're turning there, I do just want to just say thank you, New Heights, for opening up to us and for allowing us just to be a part of your lives for this summer. It really has just been a blessing to me, just getting to get to know all of you and just the experience and the fun that it's been. And I thank you, and I'm really looking forward to the summer just to be able to get to know more all of you more and just to be able to preach God's word. So Psalm 1 this evening, we'll start in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How many of you have ever worked with tree removal before? Just give a quick raise of hands here. Just quick, all right. As a Heartland grounds worker, we frequently have to remove trees off the premises. Oklahoma is known for its vast and majority of storms that come through. We get snowstorms, ice storms, regular storms, and it's just a crazy time for a lot of us. And occasionally, when one comes through, it'll kill a lot of the trees, and we get a call saying that we need to go and remove it. Well, there's a trick, particular tree that I'm thinking of. You wouldn't obviously know it because I don't think how many of you have been at Heartland, but we all knew it was dying. It was a tree that was behind the cafeteria building. We knew it was dying. We were kind of just waiting for that phone call one day from the higher-ups, in a sense, to say, remove the tree, or for a storm to come through and blow it to the ground. Well, by happenstance, just a few weeks ago, it fell to the ground. And we obviously weren't able to clean it up right away because of the storm. But the next day, we went in to remove the tree. And as we got to removing this tree, we did some investigation, and we noticed, we didn't realize just how bad the decay was. I mean, some of the roots, you could almost just pull up from the ground. It was that flimsy. And the trunk itself, I mean, you could cut off giant chunks of it, and you'd be able to carry it by yourself with no problem. That's how decayed it was. Now, the psalmist here is addressing two forms of life. He is talking about a life that's planted in the word and a life that's not. And he addresses it here just in verse 1. If you'll notice with me, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what it's saying here is this righteous man does not seek the counsel from the world. He doesn't look to the superstars of his day and time. He doesn't listen to the worldly wise men that they would dub them. Because he recognizes that these men, their wisdom is carnal, it's fleshly, it's full of error. And because of that, if he were to take their advice, he would recognize that down the road, there'd probably be more turmoil. There'd be more strife in his life that there needs to be. But it's not only the fact that he's going to ignore their counsel, but it's also this. He's not going to walk the same way that they walk. It says right there, he isn't going to stand in the way of sinners. In a sense, what it's saying is he's not going to walk the pathway that they walk. He wants to stay away from whatever they're doing. If his friend were to invite him out to go to a bar, the righteous man is going to reject that. They're going to kindly say, no, I'm not going to partake in that. I don't want to be a part of that. Because he recognizes that that sin is going to bring more sin and then more sin into his life, and it's just going to cause more problems. But it's not only just in the counsel he's going to get. It's not just in the way that he walks. It's also where he sits. It says here that he's not going to sit with the scornful. So in a sense, what it's saying here is he's not going to make a mockery of people around him, but also he's not going to make a mockery of sin. He's not, as Proverbs 14:9 would tell you, it says a fool makes a mockery of sin. But the righteous are favored. The righteous man doesn't want to downplay what sin is. He recognizes the damage that comes from it. He sees the people around him and the storm and the strife that comes with it. So he's going to avoid it at all cost. But there has to be something that he has to delight in or to strive after to help keep him away from the sin. And the text says here in verse 2 that where he delights is in the law of the Lord. And when it's saying delight, he's not just saying something that's pleasurable. He's saying that it's something that he loves, that he strives, that he seeks after daily. And it says right here, it's not just something that he seeks just in the morning time. He seeks it at nights too. He meditates on it day and night. Amen. He meditates it wherever he goes. It's not just something that he does in his morning and then goes about his day. No, he thinks on the precepts that he read. He thinks on the Word of God daily. Why is he thinking on it? Because he wants to apply it to his life. So that way, as he applies what he's learning, it helps him stay farther and farther away from what sin's going to do. It's going to keep him on the righteous path. But notice here, the psalmist gives two results of these paths. The first one is the wicked, the ungodly. And it says that they are going to be like a chaff that's driven away by the wind. Let me quote it specifically here. It says, verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So what's going to happen here is the ungodly, like the chaff, they're going to get blown to wherever they go. In a sense, what it's saying here is the ungodly, they're going to move to something that's pleasurable, and then once it loses its savor, once it stops becoming pleasurable, they need to move on to something else. That's something that's probably a little more extreme. That's what sin does, is it's not just going to take you to this little shallow end of the pool. It's going to take you down to the deep end. Sin will always take you farther than what you want to go. And that's what happens. This ungodly man, he sit here and he'll strive with this, and then he'll move on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. And soon enough, he's going to have to take into account for that. But now let's back up to verse 3 here. But it says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The righteous man, he is going to strive to be in the Word so that way he can grow, so that way he can prosper. What it's saying there is he is going to progress, not just with materialism, but in his spiritual walk. If you were to turn to James, you would recognize that James points out the idea that if you're going to draw nigh to God, he's going to draw nigh to you. Amen. And that's what the righteous wants to do here. He wants to draw nigh to God. He wants to understand what his word is telling him to apply it to his life so that way he can live a godly life, so that way when he goes up to heaven, he can hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what the righteous want to hear. They aren't looking for the short term like the ungodly are. They're not looking for the instant pleasurables. He's looking at the long term. He's looking at the long haul. He's looking at what eternity is going to be like. Everything he does is for the aspect of eternity. But as we see here in verses 5 and 6, the ungodly are going to have to take into account for their sin. They're going to have to take into account for every sinful action, every sinful deed that they did. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly, when it comes time for judgment, when they have to stand at the great white throne of judgment, they can give whatever excuse they want, but it will not matter. I love what Paul in Romans gives the account, because he's talking to the church of Rome, and he's sitting there telling them that the Gentiles, their conscience gives into account. What he's saying there is the sinners, the ungodly, they can set some moral compass, but they won't even follow that. And they'll have to take that into account. You didn't follow what you said you'd do. But I love what verse 6 says here, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What the psalmist here is communicating is there is a personal relationship that the righteous man has with God that the ungodly doesn't. Because the ungodly, they don't want that. They don't strive to know Christ on a personal level. And matter of fact, they would outright reject him because they recognize that to strive for that means that they have to give up the pleasures of the now in order to strive for the eternity. And they don't want that. They don't think of that. But that's what the righteous thinks on. And because of that, there is a God that knows him personally, and he knows him personally because he's in this. He's in the Word. He loves to delight in this daily. He ponders it daily. And because he loves this, it keeps him away. Now, the point that I want to drive is this. How can the righteous man be able to experience the blessings of God? And the point is this. The psalmist gives it perfectly clear. The righteous man can experience the blessings of God by delighting, by loving, and meditating on his word. So my question is this. Are you like the ungodly at the beginning of this psalm? Do you seek the counsel of this world? Do you listen to the superstars and the YouTubers of our time? But Daniel, they say this is okay. Does God's word say that's okay? What does God's word say about that topic? But the world's doing it. I don't care what the world is doing. I want to know what's happening in here. What about this? Do you stand in the way of sinners? When your friends or your buddies, when they are going off to do something, like go to a bar or something like that, are you quick to follow suit? Or do you tell them, no, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that because I know God's word tells me not to. I don't want to follow down this path because I know what it's going to do. Instead, I'm going to walk the path of righteousness. Or do you sit in the seat of the scornful? Do you downplay it, or do you cast judgment, or do you belittle others around you? Or how about this? Do you belittle sin? Do you downplay what sin is? We should not partake in that. We shouldn't want that. Instead, our counsel should come from here. The way that we ought to strive should come from here. We should recognize what sin is because what God's word says. Not what the world tells us. Because I want to say this, if you're going to do what the world's doing, you're going to be like the tree at the beginning of our story. Because you're refusing to strive here, your roots are going to become rotted, your trunk will decay, and whatever storm, whatever temptation comes, you won't be able to withstand it. And sooner or later, boom, you're going to be on the ground. So I implore you this evening, if you're one of those three, or maybe you're just not delighting in the Word of God the way you should, I would implore you this evening to come to the altar and pray, Lord, I know I haven't been delighting in your word the way I should be, and I just pray that you'd help me as I go throughout the week to meditate. Or if you're dealing with one of the three, I would implore you to come to the altar and just lay it on Jesus' feet saying, Lord, I need to step away from this. Will you help me? Thank you.
If you'd please take your hymnals this evening and turn to page 255, 255, Is Thy Heart Right with God?
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus' blood? ransom.